in Washington, D.C., there is a statue, and by the way, with all that's going on these days, all the unrest in our world, a lot of statues are on the chopping block. A lot of statues people are upset with, and, you know, if someone was a slave owner or something like that, they want to pull down, they want to remove these statues. One of the statues that is on the chopping block in some people's desire is a statue called Emancipation in Washington, D.C., in a place called Lincoln Park. And what the statue depicts is Abraham Lincoln with, in his right hand, is the Emancipation of Proclamation that has freed the slaves in 1863. And his left hand is held out, extended over a slave that is now freed, that is kneeling. And a lot of people don't like this image. They say that it is a picture of white supremacy, that the white man is standing over the black man, and he is releasing him. And a lot of people believe that the statue should have depicted the black man standing up beside Abraham Lincoln more as his equal. And so a lot of people have problems with that idea. By the way, so one of the reasons that people don't like the statue is because it shows the black man as helpless, as unable to gain his own freedom, when, and I don't discount this truth, that black people did have a large hand in obtaining their own freedom. About 200,000 black people fought in the Civil War and fought themselves for their own freedom. There were obviously more things than that. There were the movements of the day. But a lot of people are upset with this statue because of how it depicts the black man in his previous state. And by the way, when I see this statue, what I see in the eyes of this black man is hope. He has his eyes upturned. He's not looking at Abraham Lincoln, but he has his eyes upturned, in my mind, toward the future with hope. And he's kneeling, but he is about to rise to better and greater things. And so the statue is called Emancipation. And by the way, I, being obviously a white person, don't believe that I can tell black people how to feel when they look at an image like that. But I was thinking about that image spiritually, and what the Bible says about our previous state as unbelievers, and if you're saved today, what it says about our current state, being freed, being emancipated from both the devil's hold and from our sin. And I want to talk about these. And by the way, I'm not saying that Abraham Lincoln is Jesus and that black people are unbelievers at all. But I was thinking about that image spiritually and how some Christians look back at who they were, and they are offended with being portrayed in a certain way. They are offended with thinking about themselves in a certain way. And so I want to talk about the emancipation that we have in Christ and how we should view our past, how we should view ourselves at the cross, so to speak, where we came from, and so forth. So I want to just mention three thoughts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, read this in just a moment. Number one, the first thought I want to share is that we should never forget our past. We should never forget that moment or before the moment of our salvation, what we were really like. A lot of people, the reason they don't want this statue anymore is just because it depicts a man that was in slavery. We want to forget all that. We want to put all that behind us. We don't want to drudge up old feelings. And so they want to forget that past. But the Bible says that spiritually, we shouldn't forget our past. I want to read some passages that talk about the reality of who we were. And by the way, where all unbelievers are today, this is what is true of them. We as believers need to know this, have compassion on them. But 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. One thing that is true of us as believers is that no matter what our past was, we are not that anymore. We are declared by God that we are washed, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we never have to be that again. So we shouldn't be offended. We shouldn't be ashamed of admitting what we were, because it's not our current reality. It is only our past. Ephesians 2:1 talks about the deadness, the spiritual deadness of unbelievers. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Totally dead. Nothing good to say about us. Down in verse 11 it says, "Wherefore remember," and that's the key word that we need to take from this, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." It not only mentions the truths of what we were, that we were dead and God has made us alive, that we were without hope, that we were strangers, that we were alienated from anything good, from anything eternal and holy. It says not only that we were that, but it says remember that that is where you came from. Remember that that is who you were. Many people look back on their past with bitterness, whether it be spiritually or whether it be physically in certain ways, sometimes their ancestors. Many times people look back on the past and they don't have positive thoughts. They have bitterness, even if their current state is much better than their past state was. They still look back on that with anger, with animosity, with a desire for revenge, with a desire to just forget it all. But God says that as Christians, we should never look back on our past and say, "Oh, it was so horrible when I was an unbeliever. Why did God allow that to happen in my life? It's not fair. My life should have been better. I deserved better in my life because of who I was or where I was." Many times people look back on their past with bitterness, and we as Christians should always look back with gratitude, with a dose of reality of that is who we were, that is what we were, but that is not who I am now because of Jesus. He saved me, and we should be filled with gratitude because of all that Jesus is to us and all that he has done for us. Philippians 3:13 says that we should forget some ways, but not in other ways. Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, when Paul says that we are to forget the past, forgetting those things which are behind, what he does not mean is to forget where we came from. He means that we should not allow our past to paralyze our present. Don't look back at your failures and be discouraged and think that you can't go on anymore because this is what you were, this is what you did. Also, don't look back at your past with a positive light and be satisfied with where you've come to this point. He says, "I haven't already attained. I'm not already perfect. I haven't done enough." Don't look back at your past and say, "It's good. I've done enough and it's time just to kick back in my easy chair and coast all the way to heaven." He says, "I press toward the mark." That was my past, but I have much more to do. So when he says to forget the past, he does not mean forget where you came from. A lot of times you hear this phrase. Celebrities, whether they be in entertainment or sports, they will say things like this, "I always want to remember where I came from." Why is that important? Why is it important to not forget where you came from? Maybe these people that now have struck it rich, now that they are doing well financially, But there was a time that maybe they were even homeless on the streets. Maybe they didn't have a bright future that they could look to. They had no hope in their lives. And it's important that they never forget where they came from. A lot of times you see this, they do forget. And those people, when they were small, when they were unknown, the people that were friends, the people that loved them, they have kind of outgrown them. And they don't spend any more time with them. They don't reach out. They don't connect with them anymore, because now they live a higher life and they surround themselves with better people. We need to make sure that we never forget the reality. Get a picture, get a snapshot of yourself in those chains, in bondage, that you were slaves to sin, that you were slaves to the devil, so that you never forget to thank God for what He has done in your life. Romans 6 shows a picture of this servitude. Sometimes people say, well, I mean, I wasn't really enslaved. I mean, I wasn't doing that well, but I wasn't a slave. Romans 6, 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Obey doesn't mean a work salvation. It means you heard and you obeyed the gospel. When we believe the gospel, we obey the gospel. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So we were the servants of sin, the slaves of sin, but we have been freed from sin. It says it in verse 22 also. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Remember that when you were an unbeliever, you were in a horrible pit, in the miry clay. You were dead. You were blind. You were without hope. You had nothing. You were in chains and bondage, with the only future you could look forward to as that being eternal destruction, eternal hell. But now, God be thanked. Jesus Christ be thanked, that although that was your past, you have been forgiven. You have been set free. And the end, it says now, is everlasting life. Never forget, as a Christian, your past. Number two, never glorify your past. When you look back at those times of being in bondage, never look back on those with fond memories and think, oh, those were the good old days. You ever heard someone talk about the good old days in that way? I remember the good old days when, you know, I mean, I know we didn't have running water and electricity, and we didn't have any of the modern conveniences, but I just really liked that I was my own man. I could do whatever I want. People often glorify their past. The nation of Israel struggled with this. When they came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness, and there were times that they didn't have it as good as they wanted to have it. And so they look back. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, or desiring. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, we remember the days of garlic breath, and we loved it. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna that is before our eyes. By the way, what was manna? Manna, well, they didn't know what it was. The word literally meant, what is it? But manna was this miraculous provision from God, that they all walked outside their tents, and all along the ground everywhere was just miraculously manna. And they just went and picked it up and ate it. They didn't have to travel. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to harvest. God just miraculously made it appear, and they're done with that miracle. That miracle is so yesterday. We wish for last year when we ate, notice the word freely, when we ate freely. They were not free. They were in bondage. They were not allowed to leave. They were not allowed to have a good life. They were forced to work. They were held under the thumb of Pharaoh in Egypt so that they wouldn't grow and take over. But they glorify their past because they've forgotten the goodness of God. So many Christians like to talk about the good old days. They lived a sinful past. They were sowing their wild oats. They were living it up. And they tell sometimes to their children and their grandchildren, they say, oh yeah, I mean, these were the days. I mean, I had women and I had money and I had fame. And then one day I got saved and, you know, now I'm going to heaven, but, you know, oh, but those days I had so much fun. I had life by the tail. No, you didn't. You were in bondage. You were enslaved to sin. You had no hope. You had no freedom. And they say, but here's some of the pictures of what I was doing. And I know that was wrong, but it was so exciting. And I lived by the seat of my pants. Don't look back. That's a slap in the face to God. When we glorify the past, when we glorify the pit that Jesus reached down and saved us out of, never look back with fondness at that unbelieving life. Philippians 3 verse 3 says this, "For we are the circumcision," this is Paul talking about his resume, his past resume, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul says, we could talk on a human level about who I was and what I was and some wonderful things I could say about myself. But if we want to talk reality, if we want to talk eternally and spiritually, I look back at everything that I was, and there is not one thing about me that I can glorify, that I can say is good. I don't trust in my flesh anymore. In fact, all of that, that so many people bring to God and say, God, look at who I am. Look at what I've done. He says it was actually loss. It didn't help me get to heaven. It helped me get further away from heaven. Because trusting in that for your salvation pulls you away from trusting in Jesus. And so he says, I look at my whole past, everything I was, everything that I did, and I say that was loss for God. That's dung. It's refuse. It's trash. It's garbage. And I don't want to lift up any of that in a positive way. All that I lift up, all that I boast in is Jesus, is the cross, is Jesus crucified for me. That's the only thing I can say positive about myself. It's not my past. Paul is done glorifying his past. Imagine that somebody is in prison for robbing a bank. They spend time in prison and then they get out. And then they start to tell people what kind of a life they lived in prison. Oh, I mean, I was so respected. There were people that loved me and took care of me. And, you know, it was a comfy life. I watched TV all the time and I got to work out. And I mean, it was just, I was so enthralled with who I was there and what I had. But by the way, you were in bondage. You couldn't leave. You couldn't do the things that you want to do in life. You were separated from your family. And now this guy is bragging to his family about how wonderful that it was. Don't look back and have this revisionist history and think that things were actually better than they really were. When you and I get to heaven, nobody is ever going to talk about his past with pride. Nobody's going to ever talk about his sinful lifestyle and lift it up. It didn't do anything for the cause of Christ. All of our righteousnesses are worthless. The only thing in heaven we'll be bragging about is Jesus, his mercy and grace, what he's done for us. And so today, let's not look back and glorify the past. And then number one, never forget your past. Number two, never glorify your past. And number three, never go back to the past. This is what happens. This is the end result many times of people looking back on their past and glorifying it and looking on it with longing. And now all of a sudden something doesn't go right today. Now God is blessing and blessing, but sometimes all it takes is a little bit of things not going the way, some unfulfilled expectations. And we not only glorify the past, but we go back to it. Now you can't go back and be an unbeliever. That's a wonderful truth. Once saved, always saved. But you can go back and live that lifestyle. You can take up the bondage. You can pick up those chains and put them back on and relive bondage to the devil and relive bondage to your sin. Acts chapter 7, verse 37 shows the nation of Israel. We talked that they looked back longingly with desire to have what they had. And here's what God says they actually did on the inside. Acts 7:37, it says, This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Now, when God delivered them from Egypt, he says, you're never going to go back that way again. You're never going to be in Egypt again. But in their hearts, they did go back. In their hearts, they lived again in Egypt. They embraced the slavery and the bondage. And even though they didn't physically embrace the bondage of Egypt, spiritually, they embraced that bondage of sin. They are now enslaved again to their sin, to their fleshly old nature. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 talks about that we've been set free. And why would we ever go back? It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The context there is that so many of these Christians have been delivered from Judaism. They've been delivered from the law. And yet now there are people that are surrounding them that are convincing them that's what they should go back to. Oh, you can't be saved if you're not circumcised. And so they're trying to get them to take on the bondage of the law of Judaism. And it says, you've been freed. Stand fast in that liberty and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So many Christians want to go back into that bondage in their lifestyle. You know, maybe the Christian life gets hard, and it does. Maybe there are unfulfilled expectations. And so people start to think, oh, you deserve better than this. You deserve to have a life that is happy. You deserve to have all of your ducks in a row. And so they walk away from Christianity. They walk away from Jesus. This is what the whole book of Hebrews is about. To try to convince these Christians who are struggling not to bail on Jesus and go back into the world. To go back into Judaism. Because all that they're hoping for is just lies from the devil. The life they are expecting to find is not reality. It's just the devil telling them they can have wonderful things, but the end of those ways is death. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end of those things is death. And the devil will push lies on us all the time. Oh, go back, you can have this, you can have it all. But he hides the consequences. He hides the reality of what comes after. Hebrews 11 talks about Moses being able to walk away from the world and never look back. He never wanted to go back to Egypt. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Two things that Moses knew that made him never want to go back to Egypt. One, he knew that those pleasures were just for a season. They were just temporary, here today and gone tomorrow. And he also had his eyes on heaven, and he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that what was waiting for him in heaven far outweighed any temporary pleasures that he could have in this life. And if we will get a glimpse of those two things, it will keep us from never going back into Egypt. It will keep us from abandoning ship when times get hard. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But there is a recompense coming. There's a reward in heaven. And if you respect that reward, if you have the right value on that reward, you'll stick it out. You'll stay with Jesus. You won't want to go back anymore. So many people look at the world with envy. Oh, I had that, or I could have it again. And Psalm 37:1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Never look at the wicked and envy them for two reasons. One, their future is not a good one. They will be cut down. And if you go back, you will also, now you're not going to be sent to hell, but you can also have a future here in this lifetime that is filled with judgment and misery and consequences. But also, another reason not to envy the wicked is that many times they're not even happy right now in what they are doing. It looks like they're happy. They're trying to convince themselves. They're trying to convince other people that they have a happy life. But so many times those people they're miserable. They're in bondage. People look at someone, sometimes people when they're young, they grow up and they aspire, oh, I can't wait to have freedom so that I can do things like to drink and smoke or take drugs and so many other addictive things. There's pornography, there's sexual addiction. And so many times people look with longing on those things, but the people that are wrapped up in those addictions are miserable. They wish they could quit. They wish they could be done with that lifestyle. They're so filled with guilt. They're wrapped up and tied up. The cords of their sins are holding them fast. And they can't just quit. They wish they could. And we are envying people many times that look back and envy us. They wish they could have a simple, free lifestyle. And we're looking at them in bondage, envying them. It makes no sense. Don't look back with longing at the past and never go back to the past, because it's a dead-end street. Picture someone that's living on the streets, that steals everything that he ever has to eat, to clothe himself. He has nothing on his own. He has to steal it. And then all of a sudden, a kind, wealthy man comes one day and sees that person, has compassion, and says, "I want a better life for you." And so he takes him with, "You come home with me. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. You can live in my house. You can eat at my table." And this homeless man goes with the rich person. And after a couple of days, he likes what he sees, and he actually starts to steal things from the rich man and keep them for himself. And he runs away with what he has stolen. It doesn't make sense. The rich man has tried to provide a better life for this man, but he's still brought the bondage of thinking that he's destitute. He still thinks he needs to steal instead of just living and having the man provide all that he ever needs. He doesn't need to have $1 billion in his hand right now. He's got all that he needs for today, and tomorrow it'll be there too. But he's gone back to this life of stealing because he just didn't see himself being able to rise above it, maybe. Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." It's a very sad thing when someone is delivered and forgiven and redeemed from their past, and then they go back to that. God says the picture is a dog throwing up and then going back and eating that vomit. He's got a master that feeds him good things, but he wants to go back and eat that vomit because he really liked what he had yesterday for dinner. But that's a picture that ought to turn our stomachs, and it turns God's stomach when we go back into sin. It shows a similar picture, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Pigs just can't help themselves. You wash them up, get them clean, they go and wallow in the mud again. And there are Christians that live the same way. God has redeemed them. They cried out to help. They wanted deliverance. They needed forgiveness. They cried out and God saved them and He washed them. And now they are deceived by the devil, going back again and wallowing in the mire. What a horrible picture to the world that Jesus is not enough, that Christianity is not fulfilling when He is enough. It's just that they won't let go and they look back with longing, and eventually they've been emancipated by Jesus. They've been given their freedom, but they want to go back and embrace that bondage. They want to go back. By the way, Jesus has delivered us from the past, the present, and the future of sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Right now we've been delivered from the power of sin. One day we will be delivered forever from the presence of sin. But that's not good enough for some Christians. They want to go back into sin. They want to go back and embrace that bondage. Imagine yourself as that spiritual statue. We talked about the emancipation statue at the beginning. Imagine that that is you spiritually. You look back and you see you're on your knees, but you're rising and you've been freed. You've been released by Jesus. And so many Christians look back at that life. They look back at that picture and they say, no, that's not exactly who I was. I was better than that. I had more dignity than that. No, we were blind and dead. And never look back at that picture, that statue of yourself spiritually, and think, I want to go back to that. Or, I deserve better things in my life. We deserve hell because of our sin, because of who we are. That was our reality. So never forget that that's who you were. But never look back and glorify it and think, oh, it was actually better. I actually want to go back to it. And never go back, because it's a horrible testimony to the world and you will reap judgment and consequences in your life. Embrace the emancipation that Jesus has given you. Stand fast in the liberty and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray together.